Chris. Hello, it's time for the Holiday Thrift Shop right here on WSCS and online at classicalwscs.org and around the world at the Global Voice, theglobalvoice.info. I'm DJ Frederick and we're celebrating a cool Yule and a swinging solstice with music from the Radio Thrift Shop Archives. Wishing everyone peace on earth, goodwill toward all. All right, let's dig into the holiday archives here. See what I can come up with. Probably some 78s, at least to start off with. I love this music. Vince Guaraldi on piano, Fred Marshall on bass, Colin Bailey on drums. Does it get any better than that? I say not.
Going onward through the night. Hey-ah, hoorah, hey-ah. all the world a blanket white of snow, so cold and crisp and light with sharp winds blowing, we are going onward through the night. Hey, ah,
hey, ah, I'd be flying over snow with a hey, ha, 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 ho, ha, ho.
Hi, I'm Jack R. Johnson, and this is Hidden Histories. Many of our most cherished Christmas traditions have really nothing to do with Christianity, and everything to do with the underlying pagan traditions that celebrated the winter solstice and the return of the so-called unconquerable sun, as in burning bright thing that warms our planet, not necessarily the Son of God. Perhaps one of the most exciting historical winter solstice celebrations is the infamous Roman holiday of Saturnalia. This was both a gigantic fair and a festival of the home. Riotous merrymaking took place, and the halls of the houses were decked with boughs of laurel and evergreen trees. These trees were brought in by the Roman citizenry in the hopes that they would guard the life essences of the plants until spring. As one comic put it, our Christmas tradition is based on an act of sympathetic magic. According to Janet Shotwell, lamps were kept burning to ward off the spirits of darkness. Schools were closed, the army rested, and no criminals were executed. Friends visited one another, bringing good luck gifts of fruitcakes, candles, dolls, jewelry, and incense, and processions of people with masked or blackened faces and fantastic hats danced through the streets. The custom of murmurs, that is, visiting their neighbors in costume, which is still alive in Newfoundland, is descended from these mass processions. But one of the most egalitarian aspects of Saturnalia was a sit-down feast shared by masters and slaves. In fact, during the festivities, slaves were given the freedom to do and say whatever they liked. A mock king was even appointed to take charge of the rebels, and from this fantastic class reversal developed the so-called Lord of Misrule of medieval Christmas festivities. This is Jack R. Johnson, wishing you a happy winter solstice.
I'm doing my Christmas dreaming a little early this year. No sign of snow around, and yet I go around hearing jingle bells ringing in my ear. Your promise must be the reason the happy season is here. So I'm doing my Christmas dreaming a little early this year. So I'm doing
sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy.
No more the sins and sorrows grow, the thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow.
Far as the curse is
far
found,
as the curse
far
is found,
as the curse far is found,
as the curse
far
is found.
And makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Mr. Ed Ames with Joy to the World. Before that, the Lawrence Welk Christmas and Christmas Dreaming, a little early this year. We started off with Mitch Miller and The Sleigh. This is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Holiday Thrift Shop here on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London and online at classicalwscs.org. If you'd like to correspond with me, you can find us on Facebook. Just search for Radio Thrift Shop, or you can email wscs@colby-sawyer.edu. Again, that's WSCS, as in We're Sunapee's Classical Station, at colby-sawyer.edu. Now, every year on the Holiday Thrift Shop, I share an audio postcard from 1983 called In Search of the Shags. Now, if you have not heard of the Shags were from the seacoast area of New Hampshire. They were three sisters who played in their own rock band. They were light years ahead of their time. And, well, I'm not going to tell the whole story because that would take probably hours. So, without further ado, here's In Search of the Shags.
December 15th, 1982. With Christmas only 10 days away, this cassette was far from completion. As I walked down Bleecker Street in Greenwich Village, I tried to figure out what I could do to fill the remaining 20 minutes or so of the tape. Even so, I knew there was a good chance many people would actually receive this tape after December 25th. I was at my wit's end when I spotted the small record shop. Then and there, I decided that I would go in and find some really awful record and put it on the tape as a gag. Thus started a chain of events unlike anything else that's ever happened to me.
Hello there, my good-looking and probably very prosperous fellow. How may I be of service to you today?
Well, I have kind of an unusual request.
This is the home of 100,000 albums. Unusual we got, regular we got. You see my diploma on the wall? Master of Recordology, Vinyl Colologist. You name it, we got it. Even you don't name it, we got it.
I would like to buy the worst record in the store.
You want to buy the what?
I want you to sell me the absolute worst record in the whole store. The most god-awful thing you've ever heard, I want it.
What's the matter with regular awful? We got records by Kiss, we got terrible Andy Williams, we got avant-garde classical that sounds like static from the radio.
No, I want you to rack your brain and find the one album out of all these here in the store that is truly the most revolting.
My brain, he wants I should rack. Okay, let me rack for a minute. Wait a minute, I just thought of it. The one I use for the prop up the short leg on the breakfast nook table. For you, I get it. Will you look at the schmutz on this thing here? Here you go, my friend. The worst thing I ever heard. The shakes.
The Shags. He handed me an album with three young blonde girls pictured on the cover. The liner notes said, "The Shags are real, pure, unaffected by outside influences. Their music is different. It's theirs alone. They will not change their music or style to meet the needs of a frustrated world." I looked back at the shop owner.
"Of course, the Shags. Look at these three girls. Chicks from the suburbs with $100 guitars, but they don't know how they're playing. I guarantee this album is the one for you."
"Could you play me just a little bit? I'd like to hear it."
"You want I should drive away my customers?"
"Oh, just a little bit."
"You drive a hard bung. Here, look, you play the record. Just wait till I get out in the other room." "Okay, my fingers I'm putting in the ears. Listen, but please not for too long."
It was then, for the first time, that I actually encountered the music of the Shags.
Quite frankly, I was intrigued. It was awful, all right. But how did it ever get on a record? And who were the Shags? I had to find out. My next stop was just around the corner where my friend Steve lived. He's a musical connoisseur, very knowledgeable. When I showed him the album, he thought it was a put-on, a joke. When I played him a song called "That Little Sports Car," he was convinced.
God, it was the most incredible thing I'd ever heard. It was so bad, I was positive the whole thing was a put-on, and well, I told Don then. He said he thought it was for real, and that these really were just some kids who couldn't play so good. Well, we argued about it a bit, but we didn't get anywhere, so I let it drop. Little did I know at the time that the Shags were to become an obsession with Don. Well, you see, he had to find out who they were and what the truth of the matter was. It was all ridiculous.
I listened to the Shags' music all through that night, which passed in a haze. The next thing I remember is some cop trying to talk me down off a well-known Manhattan bridge. Well, maybe that part of the story isn't quite true. But then began an endless series of phone calls. Where were the Shags? Had this record died in obscurity, or were others similarly afflicted by its music? I found nothing. Then, something I had overlooked leapt out at me. A list of thank yous on the record's jacket, and among them a newspaper, the Exeter, New Hampshire Newsletter. It was a slim chance, but I was clutching at straws now. With trembling hands, my lanky fingers pressed out the phone number.
"Good afternoon, Newsletter."
"Yes, I'm wondering if somebody there can help me. I'm trying to track down a musical group named the Shags."
"Okay, just a moment."
"Okay.
Mary Kramer speaking."
"Yes.
These are three young girls or girls."
"Yes.
that in the back of my mind, this is all very familiar, and why it's familiar, and I don't think that this is real recent, but they were around this area, and they're a local family, I think.
Uh-huh.
But is there something about Wiggin on there?
Wiggin, it was produced by an Austin Wiggin Jr., and the three members of the group are Betty, Helen, and Dorothy Wiggin. And if you'd heard their music, I don't think you would have ever forgotten it.
Well, what's the name of the other?
The group is called the Shags.
Yeah, I know that. That's Wiggin.
Mm-hmm. But you say you do vaguely remember them?
I do, but I can't. That's all I do is vaguely. I don't know why I remember or what. I can't remember who I was talking to about these people because I don't feel like it was like more than 6 to 8 months ago, and I don't know why.
Huh.
It's a complete blank at this point.
Okay, and the only other names on the back of the album here are Kathy and Bob Olive, Gene Sebalkin, Ernest Hatzis, Charles Nuttings, Ben, boy, that's a tough one to pronounce, Swiznitsky or something like that.
Swiznitsky, I know exactly now, it all comes clear to me. Call Ben's Photoshop in Exeter.
Ben's?
Yep.
Photoshop.
That's exactly what's all, I know exactly what it is now.
What was it exactly?
I know that he was the one that was talking about him, and he knows all about him.
I called Ben's Photoshop.
Good afternoon, Ben's Photo.
Yes, is Ben Szyzinski there, please?
Sure, just a minute, please.
Hello?
Yes, Ben?
Yes.
I'm trying to get some information about a musical group called the Shags.
I took the only thing I had involved with them, I took four photographs while they're on stage here in Exeter.
I could tell he was scared.
Are they coming back?
I don't know.
I think they're promoting their record or recordings that they made. They originated their own music and everything.
Uh-huh.
You know, they were quite the threesome. They didn't know whether they were ahead of their time or where they fitted into the picture with the music that they had. But one of the girls, the one I'm thinking about now, is married, and her name is Semprini.
So, hiding out under an assumed name. But would Ben, the friendly photographer, be able to lead me to her?
And we're checking the phone number now.
Do you have any other recollections of them when they were performing? Were they a local hit, or?
Well, they were well known in the area, and their father, he was their manager, and they did get around, and yes, they were well liked. And have you played the record?
Yes,
all?
I have.
Uh-huh.
It's very different and very unusual.
Yeah. The odd part of it is, you know, they gave me one of the first pressings they had.
Oh, yeah? We ought to hang on to it. It's probably a collector's item.
And I'm not even in the, you know, I'm not really musically minded. I'm a photographer. I mean,
uh-huh.
I look at pictures. I don't have time to look at. So anyhow, listen to records. But anyhow, I remember they gave me one of the first ones, and I remember seeing the jacket on it, and I filed that away somewhere.
Yeah. Did you ever listen to the record?
I think I did when I first got it.
And do you recall what your impressions were?
Well, as, like you say, it's different. And I have to think of, as I think of the girls and listen to the music, I couldn't figure out whether it was country music or what it was. They're pretty girls, too. I remember the chubby one was the one behind the drums.
Yeah.
I said, now, if I'm going to take your picture from this angle, I think what you better do is rearrange yourself a little bit. So I was just saying that she felt very comfortable, but I thought her knees should be a little closer together.
Uh-huh.
That's the part I remember, because she was a little on the chubby side. It's an odd thing to remember, but anyhow. Well, I tell you, we seem to have mislaid that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but that's all right. I think we can get it.
Do you know which of
them? Oh, wait a second. Well, she's got it.
At last, it appeared my quest was nearing an end. But my newfound friend Ben still had an incredible revelation up his sleeve. It seemed that I was not the first to seek out the Shags.
Uh-huh.
And had you called about this before?
No.
Because there have been other people calling in the past. Who was it? The Rolling Stones magazine. This was a couple of years or so ago.
Rolling Stone magazine? This was a rumor I had to check out for myself.
Rolling Stone?
Yes, my name is Don Brockway. I'm calling up to see if perhaps anyone there can give me some information about an obscure rock and roll group that might have been written up in Rolling Stone, I don't know, maybe a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. It's a group called The Shags.
Oh, yeah, all-girl group.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You're familiar with them.
Yeah.
Did the magazine write them up at some point?
Maybe. Hang on. Chris, are you familiar with any piece we've done on The Shags? Did we do one last year? Yeah, we did one last year in the Dolly Parton issue.
Available at my local library.
I don't know. It depends about your library, but we have back issues here on sale.
Have you ever heard this group?
No, I've never heard them, no.
They are, you have to hear them.
I know, I've heard a lot of good things about them.
Have you? What have you heard? What's the talk there been?
Well, what I've heard is simply that they're different, but after you listen to them a while, you understand that there's a lot more going on than you realize. But I have yet to hear them, so I don't know.
Uh-huh. I picked up a copy of the album down at Village Oldies.
Mm-hmm.
When I walked in and said to him, what's the worst album that you have in the store?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And he gave you that?
And he gave me The Shags, yeah.
Well, they're supposed... Well, it's obscure.
It's obscure and perhaps deservedly so.
Well, like I said, I've never heard them, but...
But there's somebody there who's obviously dug into their music, which upon first hearing is pretty horrendous.
Yeah?
I would say leaning toward the hideous and pulled something out of it that in all probability is not really there, as Rolling Stone is wont to do from time to time. I'd love to speak to whoever it was who wrote this article.
Hang on, Chris, you know who wrote the piece? His name's Chris Connolly. Hang on.
Okay.
Hello?
Chris?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Don Brockway.
Uh-huh.
I'm calling about The Shags.
Mm-hmm.
Did you write up the group for Rolling Stone?
Yes, I did. It was brought to my attention by my editor at the time, who was Mark Kirkaby, who, I mean, the record soon became a legend. It didn't take long until people were playing in the office and marveling at it. So we decided we had to do a story on it, and I got assigned to do it.
Uh-huh. And what's your opinion of the album?
Oh, I think it's so bad it's terrific.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay, now we're down to cases. It's so bad it's terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what was the, I mean, did you actually say this record is so bad that it's good?
I said it was unique.
Unique.
Yeah.
So in other words, you sort of couched your phrases when you spoke to the members, the ex-members of the band, I assume they
more
know.
More or less, yes.
Yeah. Are they aware of the true nature of their musical talents?
Sure. I'm not sure. I mean, it's very entertaining music.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, I always have a great time when I listen to it. And
are you taking chemicals into your body at
time? No. I mean, in rock and roll was never really about instrumental proficiency. Well, actually, it was a legend even before we did something on it.
You're kidding.
No, it was so bad it got a lot of attention.
At the time?
Right off, yeah. Yeah, I was even surprised it didn't show up on the top 200 chart because a lot of people in the press were talking about it. I mean, they got a lot of attention. This was a record that could not be passed up.
So they're famous.
For a moment. They had their 15 minutes, let's put it that way.
Uh-huh, right.
I think they've passed into obscurity. My understanding is that there is another record of theirs coming out very soon, though. Another collection of old songs called The Shag's Own Thing. Which will feature cover versions of Michelle by the Beatles.
It boggles the mind.
It does boggle the mind. It does boggle the mind. I've been counting the minutes, you know. There's
yeah.
still time to get a visa to leave the country.
Well, we can. It gives us something to live for, though.
It does. It really does. There isn't much more to say, except all I can tell you is that they're all living in trailer homes now, and they're all married.
Yeah.
They're happier probably than the average rock and roll musician, so good for them.
The time had come to get the story from the horse's mouth. With trembling hands, I placed a call to Dot Wiggins, alias Semprini.
Hello.
Hello, my name is Don Brockway. Is this Dot speaking?
Yes.
I'm calling because of The Shags.
Uh-huh.
I thought maybe you could give me a little information on it.
Oh, sure.
Do you ever get together and play anymore?
No, we still have all the instruments, but everybody kind of drifted away, and, you know, we all have all individualized. We used to play for volunteer for patients, like at a county home, nursing home, but we haven't even done that. We haven't done nothing for, well, at least 2 years. Yeah, you know, it was just something that we did at the time, and it never went anywhere, and we never did anything with it, so we thought that would be the end of it. We'd never hear of it again. So it was really a surprise.
Did you have a lot of musical training, or?
Yeah, we took guitar lessons for, I don't know, it seemed like forever at the time. We did our high schooling at home through mail so that we would have time to also do our music lessons. We had singing lessons and music lessons. One night a week we went to Manchester for guitar lessons, and then another night a week we went to Manchester for voice lessons. I know the second album, as far as the songs go, are better than the first album.
Oh, yeah?
Because we knew more of what we were doing.
Yeah.
So it should sell better.
I guess you sold a lot of these records right in the local area there.
I don't know. We didn't, like I said, we recorded the album. My father got a box of them from the record recording company, and they were supposed to distribute the others, and I guess they did, but we assume they didn't because we never heard a word from anybody until, like, 2 years ago. So, to my knowledge, they weren't sold at all. The man that my father dealt with, we just thought he was a crook. And he took my father's money and gave us one box of albums and ran. Because he was supposed to distribute them and, you know, keep us informed, and we never heard a word from him. We tried to contact him. We got lawyers after. Nobody could find him, so I don't know what happened. I guess there was two or three other people looking for him, too.
Yeah.
They just figured he's quit the country.
Well, you've got the last laugh, that's for sure.
That's true.
And it is true, too. The way the case had turned out, it surprised me, kind of. I'd wandered into that record store looking for something awful, something laughable, and I found it. But I found much more. I found a story that was at once hilarious and poignant. It wasn't just about some deluded kids who thought they had talent. It's about something that's both funny and admirable in the human spirit. It's about a father now gone who so wanted to believe in his daughters that he listened to their music with his heart. A tone-deaf organ, if there ever was one. And it's about the faded and slightly tattered dreams of some kids who had the whole world before them. Kids that were struggling through high school about the same time I was. Grown-up kids who've seen 1,000 dreams come and go and still find true happiness in a trailer in New Hampshire. And yet I found some sort of crazy triumph in all this for them. An album review in Rolling Stone. Music that might have been snickered at but was still being heard. Music that was in some lunatic way bringing pleasure to people, the way I hope it has on this Christmas cassette for you. There's a lesson to learn from the story of the Shags, and I think you already know what it is. So I'll just mark this case closed.
Silent night, holy night, jingle bells, walking in a windy wonderland.
How was that for a fabulous Christmas carol medley? It's me, Pee Wee Herman, in case you didn't figure it out. Duh! I'm here to just wish everybody the merriest, merriest, merriest of Christmases, Happy New Year, and Happy Hanukkah to my Jewish friends. Ah!
Do you know where Santa gets the toys for all the little girls and boys? If you don't, you soon will understand. Just come and see on Christmas Eve in Fairyland. First of all, he starts at break of day with reindeer and an empty sleigh and a list of stockings in his hand. He has to fill on Christmas Eve in Fairyland. Off he rides up Rainbow Hill, for boxes full of painting colored squares. Then he drives to Dollyville to fill his sack with dolls and teddy bears. That's the way he goes the whole day through. He has an awful lot to do, but it all comes out as Santa planned the moment that it's Christmas Eve in Fairyland. Such a day for Santa Claus, collecting toys without a pause. And for every toy there's such demand, especially on Christmas Eve in Fairyland. Though the day goes on, he never stops. He calls at all the fairy shops, and the way he works is simply grand, because he knows it's Christmas Eve in Fairyland. Whips and tops and lollipops, with racing cars and candy bars galore. Tea sets due in pink and blue, and rocking horses ready by the score. Soon the toys are piled upon the sleigh for all the kids on Christmas Day. Yes, it all turns out as Santa planned the moment that it's Christmas Eve in Fairyland.
Strutting with her bow through the streets covered white with snow. Happy smiles everywhere you go. It's Christmas night in Harlem. People are feeling mighty good in that good old neighborhood. Hear it now, be it understood. Christmas night in Harlem. Oh, everyone is gonna sit up until after three. Everyone, we be all lit up
like a Christmas tree. Oh, come on now, every Jane and Joe, greet your sweet neat the mistletoe with a kiss and a hidey-ho. Christmas night in Harlem. Sit up until after three. Everyone be all lit up like a Christmas tree. Come on now, every Jane and Joe, greet your sweet niece to mistletoe with a kiss and a hidey-ho. Christmas night in Harlem. Full of belly to it. Oh, what a night in Harlem. Oh, come on now, every Jane and Joe, I greet your sweet neat the mistletoe with a kiss and a go, go, go.
Well, you've been listening to the Holiday Thrift Shop with DJ Frederick. That was, of course, Louis Armstrong and Christmas Night in Harlem. Before that, yes, from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, we heard The Most Wonderful Day of the Year. And we started off with Gracie Fields and Christmas Eve in Fairyland from 1950. This is DJ Frederick wishing you many blessings and a season of light all the year round. Thanks for listening.